88.5 KCSN. It's Jeff Penfield here, joined by Danger Mouse, the producer of a really cool new project along with Sam Cohen. It's called Resistance Radio, the Man in the High Castle album, which is a really ambitious project, taking on a lot of classic songs from the 1960s and covering them with a lot of different artists and a lot of cool people. So just want to say thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk about it.
Sure, sure. Thanks for having me.
So this is part of the Amazon show, The Man in the High Castle, which is set in 1962 with the idea, that the Allied powers had lost World War II.
Right.
So I think probably the most obvious question, is, or just kind of the first one is, how were you and Sam approached about doing this?
Initially, I was approached about doing a song maybe or two for, what would be a compilation that would be part of Resistance Radio, this kind of pirate radio station that had to do with the show. I hadn't seen the show yet. I really wasn't that interested in doing any covers or anything like that. But I was intrigued by the show. I'd heard about it, but I hadn't actually seen it. So I watched some episodes, and then it turned into more of a talk of, you know, in order to get this to sound accurate for the time, we'd have to record it a special way and everything else. And so I started thinking, well, maybe, you know, I've been working with Sam Cohen in New York, and I thought, I bet you, you know, we could probably pull it off, a couple of songs, but then you don't really know what the rest of the album would be like. And so I thought, well, maybe we could just do the whole thing. So we went in and we tested it out. We went in one night with his band, and we cut three backing tracks for three different songs, old songs from the era. And then I took one of them, which was Taste of Honey, and sent it to James Mercer, who's in the Shins and does Broken Bells with me, and said, hey, you know, would you mind trying to sing Taste of Honey? We did this, cut this, and thought you would be great for it, for this project. And he tried it right away. So within a couple of days, we had proof of concept that we could actually do this really quickly. So we went back to them and said, you know, we'll, you know, could you let us do the whole thing? You know, we'll record all the songs, we'll get all the artists, we'll figure it out. But if we can do that, then that's something we would be into, and it'd be a big challenge, and we'll jump on it. And they were into it.
So a lot of the artists that you have, that you were able to include, were folks that you've worked with in your career, whether it was Beck, Nora Jones, James, obviously, Michael Kiwanuka. Did you have kind of a singular band that did the backing track and then they added the vocals, or did it kind of depend? Okay.
Yes, there was a singular band that we cut all the backing tracks in 5 days. It was about 18 songs for the, you know, drums, bass, piano, organ, guitar. Those were all done by one band, and we did it in the room, all in one room in a small kind of practice space. But we did it in a way that would have, you know, been done for speed, like back in the day with the way the recording techniques were. So there was a lot of bleed in the room where you're hearing one instrument and the other instrument's microphone and everything, but that gives it the sound. And so you just got to get it right, and you do a few takes, you know, you adjust a little, and then you move on. So that's the way we had to do it, and it was great. It was really a challenge to do it that way.
Well, and that's the, and I think that was really crucial to the project, because what you're talking about is resistanceradio.com, which is, you go to this website and you can listen to these three different stations that are supposedly set within the show, where you'll have a DJ talking about, you know, what's going on in the country, and, you know, doing ads for, you know, whatever's going on. But really having that authenticity, you know, what kind of challenges were with that when you did have that backing band to make sure it was like, okay, this is really going to sound like it's from 1962?
Well, it was a couple of things. I mean, you know, the main thing was stylistically making sure we didn't get too ahead of ourselves. There were songs that were more popular or more famous, you know, something like Unchained Melody, the version that people know came after 1962. So we had to do a version that was before 1962 that didn't have some of the new parts and things in it, that so it wouldn't be completely, you know, from that time. So there's certain styles of music as well that hadn't really developed. So certain kinds of guitar effects we couldn't really use. They hadn't been used back then. And different types of just recording techniques we wanted to try to stay true to that, to the time of. So that was the main thing, was just making sure we didn't get too ahead of, you know, because we thought, oh, this could make it sound better, but it's not going to be accurate. So we tried to do that, and that was difficult only in that, you know, again, that there were songs that people know, and so many of these songs had been done by different people already. There, you know, there's one famous version of them, but they've been recovered a bunch of different times, and usually the famous version was not the first version either. So it was just trying to make sure we didn't get too much into trying to do a version of the song that was trying to be different just to be different, because people know the songs that they know, and it's just hard to do to attack really famous songs that people are already familiar with. So we weren't sure if that was going to work out.
That was one of the interesting things, just kind of listening through track by track, you know, and thinking to myself, okay, what were some of the things that you had to do to kind of say, okay, these are the set of songs that we want to do for this? Because a lot of them are more of those down tempo types of songs from the 1960s that were hits, like, you know, Unchained Melody, like the other one that the Sharon Van Etten song.
Yeah, End of the World.
Yeah, The End of the World, like finding those cuts. And, you know, was there any challenges in selecting all these different songs and really drilling it down to make sure these are the appropriate cuts?
Well, the first thing we wanted to do is we just wanted to make a record that we would actually listen to on our own now. So mm-hmm. some songs, even though they might have been big then or are of that era and represent that era, they're not really songs that I would ever really listen to. So, but there are some that I would. So, myself and Sam. So Sam and I really obsessed over the track listing, because we had to cut the songs and then get them to the singers, and we didn't have the luxury of asking what key to cut the songs in. We didn't we weren't able to ask the singers, would you like to sing this song or that song? We didn't really just have to go, okay, roundabout, in a roundabout way, these are these great songs that we got to get somebody to do them, and we know a bunch of people, and we'll start asking people we don't know as well. But also that of the time, I mean, it was, you know, in this alternate reality, it wouldn't have been a very happy time, I don't think. And so we kind of went with darker, slower, sadder songs, and then we made them even darker and sadder in our own way. I mean, we cut this right after the election, like in December anyway. So we were all...
So yeah, timing-wise, it actually worked yeah. out in a strange a bit, yeah. way, yeah. And that was kind of something I was curious about was, because you are in this alternate reality mm-hmm. at the end of the day with the show, with resistanceradio.com, and what these songs are supposed to be, was there any times when you were kind of taking a liberty and saying, we should change this just a little bit, because this is how occupied America, because that's the idea, is that America is occupied by both Germany and Japan. This is how it would sound if this song was recorded in this alternate world.
I don't know that we got that detailed as far as thinking of it in the terms of that. I think that was just what went into the selecting of the songs. We didn't use a lot of happy rock and roll stuff or upbeat stuff, you know. We just picked the stuff that was a little bit more downer. And then it was more just, again, creatively something that would have fit the era, but also would make us want to listen to the song mm-hmm. today. Like, we knew we were making an album that was going to be listened to today and that we wanted to. So yeah, we tried to stay away from too much kitschy stuff if we could do that, you know. But you still have the era, you know. We had the string arrangements and the horn arrangements and the backing vocals and things like that that just added to the richness of it. But you know, it was not that different. It was just stylistically, you know, the band played it in the style of that time, and we recorded it just, you know, slightly differently than we would have done, and just made sure we stayed away from too many modern sounds or any modern sounds really. And that was really what went into it.
It's really amazing just kind of listening through that and hearing all these modern artists in this totally different way. Cause you know, whether you think of Beck now with his last few songs that he's released with Wow and Dreams, like those two are very, very pop hits, and you know, it's kind of like all of a sudden you hear them in this totally different realm. You know, have you heard any response from some of the artists about what they heard when they heard the finished product yet?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was really happy with it. I mean, I was always, you know, having, you know, you have your fingers crossed. You just don't know when you're attacking these really famous songs and how someone's going to approach it, and then you don't want to have to tell them, you didn't pull it off, sorry, we're not using it. You know, we were prepared to have to do that. And I mean, there was a couple of calls made here and there to kind of guess some things changed. I mean, we were in the studio with some of the singers. Some of them had to do it on their own. But everybody took it really seriously. I think they knew, you know, they didn't want to be exposed. So they really took approaching, you know, these classic songs in that way. And there was a lot of songs we chose that people hadn't heard either on purpose, because we wanted to expose some new songs, and then some smaller artists as well are on the album too. So hopefully there is still, even though it's old music, there's still some discovery there with new artists and songs that they may not have heard as well.
For you, it was interesting kind of seeing how you pulled upon some of your relationships that you've had, James, Nora, but also with your label, 30th Century, because we had Big Search at KCSN, I think about 2 weeks ago, and did a session with us. And I know Maybird is another band that you had on the project. And so what was that? So it was kind of interesting seeing, you know, how you were able to incorporate some of the folks you would work with that everybody knows, but then also give a chance to some of these artists that you're working with now with your record label, and kind of saying, hey, here's this really cool opportunity for you to showcase this style out.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a voice thing. You know, it was, can this person pull off this song? And starting thinking of voices, and some of the voices from the smaller bands did, you know, amazing. You know, with Big Search doing Lonely Mound of Clay, you know, his performance on that, and he sounds like Buddy Holly or something on there. It's really, really great. It's just when people get a chance to do something different, sometimes they really take advantage of it. And these guys, they did. I think even the bigger artists as well. I mean, all of them. I really was happy. We did 18 songs. We thought we would use about 13 or 14, and because we just didn't think we'd be able to pull it off with everybody. But we really liked the result, and everybody wanted to keep all the songs, so
we did.
I
think my favorite was Benjamin Booker. That was so perfect. Oh, right. I saw Spoonful. I'm like, yes, because I'm a huge Howlin' Wolf fan, and I'm thinking of, you know, the grit Howlin' Wolf had in his voice and what we've heard so far from Benjamin Booker in his young career, and it's just like that was just made in heaven.
Yeah, that was Sam Cohen the whole way. I mean, Sam Cohen just did the he'd produced the new Benjamin Booker record, so that was him bringing it.
Okay, I was wondering if there was a connection there. I wasn't sure if you had done anything with that.
Yeah, Sam did. He bought in Kevin Morby because he did Kevin Morby's last album, Sing and Saw, and then he'd been working with Benjamin Booker. So I think that the matching up the singers with the songs, I mean, a lot of it became a process of elimination when we started getting some of the names we wanted and everything else, and then we only had a certain couple of songs left. And, you know, originally someone else was supposed to sing House of the Rising Sun, and Sam was doing all the scratch vocals that we would send out to people, and he sent me the scratch vocal for House of the Rising Sun, and I said, no way, we're gonna have to keep it because he would have never sung it like that. I don't think if he thought we were gonna keep it. I don't know, it would have been a different thing. He had already done Get Happy, so this was just, it was just kind of an afterthought, so he just kind of threw it all out there, and so I was like, no, we have to keep that.
And for you, kind of looking in where you are in your career and what you've been working on, 30th Century Records, obviously a big part, because you've been a mega producer, now you've got your own label. Is this something that you imagine you'd be doing with 30th Century Records when you started it, or is this something that was like an opportunity and you're like, you know what, this would be really cool if we got involved?
Not yet, it just came up, it just happened. I happened to not have, I had December off, but I don't do good at taking time off. So when this came up, I said, oh, well, I know what I can do. I'll just, you know, we only had 3.5 weeks to do it. We'll just fill it up with this. So no, it just came out of nowhere. But I'm glad we did it, and really thankful to all the artists that just kind of showed up and just did this so quickly and put so much into it. It's great. It's just an album that I think that, it's just new recordings. I learned a lot about, you know, looking at just classic songwriting and recording and how simple it can really be if it's done in a certain way. And but yeah, I definitely, even though it's old cover songs, I learned a lot from doing the project.
Cool. Well, Resistance Radio, The Man in the High Castle album is coming out April 7th, and I'm talking here with Danger Mouse. He worked on it with Sam Cohen. So we thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk about the project.
Sure. Thank you.